Welcome to the Index Podcast, hosted by Alex Kahaya. Plug in as we explore new frontiers with Web3 and the decentralized future.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Index, brought to you by The Graph, where we talk with the entrepreneurs building the next wave of the internet. Today, I'm excited to welcome Jay Chang, co-founder of Genopets, a free-to-play blockchain-based game built on Solana. Thanks so much for being here. Before we jump in, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the background on why we started the show. I started my first podcast in, I think it was whenever the pandemic started. I can't remember quite what year it was.
A lot of pandemic like hobbies turned into things that people just stuck with.
For me, it was like, I'm a BD guy. I'm in the crypto space. And I'm at like every conference in the world. And all of a sudden, I couldn't meet anybody. And it kind of took away my superpower. Like one of my superpowers, I can walk into a room and find like the one or two people that I need to talk to and get them to talk to me.
I can very much relate.
I was like, how do I do that now? So that's when my first show started, which is called Follow the White Rabbit. And it's grown into something that's more important than that for me. Like number one, it became like this way for me to educate my friends and family about what I do. Like they have no clue what I do or why it's important. And it's called The Index. This is kind of going somewhere. It's called The Index because it's an index of people. And I believe that people are worth knowing, and like telling their stories is something that's important to me. And so our tagline is people worth knowing. You're definitely one of those people, like especially in gaming, you know, pioneering how to build a blockchain-based game with Genopets. It's the why behind why I do this. It's like, I really do enjoy knowing the people that are building these innovative tools and companies. And I've started to realize it's actually maybe even bigger than the space that we're in now. Like there, I've got all these ideas for like these verticals that I could index now, or that like other people could index underneath our brand.
It's so funny to hear this story. I mean, we've chatted a few times. It's not until you do something like this where you start to really get to know people, or at least like these nuggets get uncovered. But previous to Genopets, my like side hobby thing that I've been in crypto for a number of years, 2016, 17, remember the first wave. But one of my side hobbies, things that I'd always done, is food Instagram. Ironically wearing this Instagram shirt right now. I've interviewed just about 500 chefs around the world for an Instagram. But rather than just post pictures of food porn, which is what most of food Instagram was, I wrote like bios and stories of the chef behind the knife, it was called, and like why people wanted to know or care about the person who was making this food and why this restaurant is so cool that I really like. So I'm all with you on telling the story of the people behind the thing.
I love it. Yeah. So for me, like where this has gone is I'm like starting to get this itch. I'm like, maybe, you know, we have a studios, my producer and I are business partners, and we call it Index Studios. But now I'm like, I don't know that the shows would all be called The Index. Like there might be, what did you call it? The knife behind the food?
The story of the chef behind the knife.
Yeah. That's an awesome index. I mean, it's amazing. Right. And I'm finding these like little niches like that where there are these cool stories that could be told. We'll have to produce one for you that has the same one.
We can collab. It's ironic though, because pandemic had the opposite effect for me. I couldn't go to restaurants anymore. So I actually stopped like doing a lot of that and instead got back into crypto and ended up launching Genopets shortly thereafter.
All right. That's a good segue. Tell me about that. You launched Genopets in 21. How did you transition from food vlogging on Instagram? It was a side hustle, but like, how did you transition from that and like whatever you were doing in crypto at the time to Genopets?
Yeah. So I'd been on the layer one side for most of my career, dev marketing, you know, evangelizing projects, getting people on board to build on chains. I worked on EOS, I worked on Near. And actually in 2020, when pandemic first hit, I actually retired from crypto. I was like, oh, I'm over it. This is too much. It's too crazy. As much as I tried to step away, like it was always one of those things that like I put so much into this community and this technology that I couldn't really leave. My co-founders, Ben and Albert, were good friends of mine from actually before. They had one of the largest projects on EOS. There's a health data marketplace. And they had been circling around sort of how to reinvent that project in a more consumer-friendly way, something that could hit at the same goals of what we were building before, but maybe in a way that would better resonate with people. You know, if you think of a marketplace, health data marketplace, everyone talks about data sovereignty and can I monetize my health data, or can I monetize any data on blockchain and remove the remove the intermediaries. That product was connecting researchers with individuals so that you could, in the aggregate, make money off of your health data when it was used for research. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but the short answer. What we realized was the amount of money that you may make, ironically, very similar to play-to-earn games, the amount of money that you may make from doing this action in the aggregate was never really going to be the main motivator for you to want to use the product. But if we could make it fun and something rewarding that you enjoyed, you know, maybe that could be your motivation. And any amount of money or crypto earnings or gains that you got on the separate from that would be icing on the cake. So we kind of got into play-to-earn games for that reason. Obviously, play-to-earn was the thing in 21. Very early after Axie's initial success, we started looking at this as an interesting way for people to want to learn Web3 or engage with Web3 for something other than financial gain. Crypto has always very much been, how much money can I put in and how much money can I get out? And games looked to us like a reason why people may want to learn Web3 for the fun of it or see some benefits from it outside of what are my gains. So we took that as sort of a founding principle for how we designed Genopets. The game, at a high level, it's a move to play game. You walk around every day, you get steps. You're doing it anyway with your Apple Watch or your Google Fit or your Fitbit. But the dopamine loop for Genopets actually starts at the end of the day after you've gotten those steps. And the steps you take every day, whether you went on a run or you just walked around your house, are converted to energy that you can use to level up and customize and evolve and battle with and do all these things with your Genopet that essentially turns into an avatar that grows and progresses as you do something that you probably know you should do, like stay active, but oftentimes lack the motivation to do so. So Genopets started to serve as your daily reminder of how much you walked that day, a small reward, not an on-chain reward, not even a financial reward. Your Genopet evolving and growing and dancing became that reward for your day's activity. So that's kind of where we sit today and what the game is. It's very simple. It's a mobile app. You download it. You get started. Actually, the mobile app itself has no crypto, no wallets, no mention of NFTs. It's just a fun game to play. And, you know, we have 120,000 players playing today, 56% D30 retention. People love the game for the game. And of course, it is a Web3 game. In fact, our contracts on Solana are typically top three most active contracts. But the Web3 side of our game is actually a small sliver of the overall game experience. But it's that economic side of the game. It's the crafting creation. It's the inventory of all the items in the game that you'll want to trade and sell amongst players. Most RPGs, if you've played one, certainly have this sort of economic loop. So we designed an economic loop game around Web3 and a pet care, health, fitness, activity game that everyone in the world will want to play. That's kind of where we're sitting today is the on the Web3 and Web2 sides of the way our ecosystem operates.
I love that it combines gaming and fitness. I think like getting more people outside, doing things that make them healthy, and then also like looping in the Web3 stuff, it's kind of the best of all the worlds. So that's really cool. How does the game economy work? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, totally. It's one of those things where just to double click on that point, it's like when we first got in this, we're like, what is the overlap between gamers and fitness people and like, you know, Web3 people? And it doesn't sound like there's a very large Venn diagram there, but everyone moves every day. And the vast majority of people know that they probably should move a little bit more, but oftentimes lack the motivation to do so. So we say Genopets became a habit for people that reinforces something you know you should do, but oftentimes lack the motivation. So that's what's fun about it and where we started to see the overlap, and certainly, you know, getting a lot of great feedback from our community on sort of the direction we're headed there. The economy and the way we, you know, put a lot of this together from the beginning, I think, especially if you looked at a lot of the 21 narratives around play to earn games, it was all about how are you going to make a sustainable GameFi economy. And, you know, this can't just be based on earn token and dump it, because that's just not going to be a viable business model. How does the studio make money in that scenario? How do players make money? You know, is it just a Ponzi where you reward the people that got in early and everyone else gets rugged? To an extent, like that is definitely what we've seen from the vast majority of play-to-earn games that have seen any amount of success. Our approach from the beginning was always, and it sounds harsh when I say it, but to separate the Web 2 and Web 3 in our game. A lot of people talk about Web 2.5, but I don't think that's really a thing. We are a Web 2 game that anybody, including my mom and little sister, can play, where they get a pet that walks around and evolves. And we have a Web 3 game that's very economy-based. You have to buy NFTs. You have to know Web 3. You participate in an economy to create game items that are purchasable by the Web 2 player base. So in every game, there's, you know, power-ups and new wings for Chino Pet and all the in-game items that players in a mobile app typically buy from a publisher directly who sells you things for dollars in the game. The way our game is designed and our in-app purchase launch, our marketplace launch in the mobile app is actually our next big milestone this summer, is all the items in the game that the mobile player base desires are created by Web3 players. They mint a new pair of wings or a new power-up or a new food or toy item that the player base in the mobile app will demand. And that's actually where the sustainable earn comes from. Is the earn isn't just how much token you can get and sell. And in fact, there's calculators about this online that people in the community have created, where if you make an item in GenoPets and try and sell it, you know, does that actually net more profitability than just selling token? And of course, token prices are volatile and things are always changing, but that's sort of half of the fun of an economy game, is understanding all the different levers you can pull, the ways you can play that side of the game to essentially be a merchant, very much to the Amazon ecosystem, where there are buyers and sellers on Amazon. There are buyers and sellers in GenoPets. The vast majority of the player base, actually more than 80% of our player base, is mobile, just living in the mobile app, walking every day, checking out their GenoPet, feeling very fulfilled by that. And when they want to buy a new pair of wings or an upgrade to make their GenoPet cooler, faster, stronger, they are essentially going to purchase a Web3 item that a Web3 player is minting to sell, because they are playing to earn in a play-to-earn style game. What's fundamentally different here is where the earn came from. The earn is not just token, as I've said. The earn is the facilitation of this marketplace.
And do they pay in Sol or USDC, or like who? There's two. There's like the Web3 people over here. Are they paying in Sol and USDC or like your native token or something? And then the Web2 people, are they paying in with a credit card on the marketplace from their app? Like, are they buying it?
Right.
And it's somehow there's some like back end stuff happening that they don't even know about.
That like back end wizardry, secret sauce magic. That's where our, you know, GenoPets platform essentially comes in. We call it the Manifold. It's our platform, our Web3 platform, our game platform stack facilitates things like dollars spent in an IAP to executing Web3 transaction for somebody who minted an item using our native token and sells it on a marketplace in Sol or USDC. So we facilitate the Web2 to Web3 for the average player. Part of that is grounded in this hypothesis that Web3 matters most to users at the point of sale or transaction. If you're just on the buy side and I want to change my pet to blue, do I need a wallet or to understand crypto? I just want to buy this item that makes my pet blue. If you ever wanted to mint your game progress and the mobile app out to chain and sell it and become a merchant, that's an option for players. And we have a Genoverse portal, and this all happens on our website. The website, genopets.me, is where the Web3 side of the game operates, and the Web2 side is, again, just this mobile app. So we will have the ability to move, you know, between the two. The idea being that learning Web3 or doing the Web3 side of this is really only important at the point of sale or transaction. And you get a super engaged, you know, player base that's there for the right reasons on both sides. That's kind of where we see this hypothesis going. So, you know, to directly answer your question, you mint things in our crafting game using our native tokens. You buy things in the mobile app using dollars. The GenoPress platform essentially, you know, facilitates that in the back end.
I think you guys have done something super important. Gaming has historically been a like where all the early adopters are for lots of technologies, in my opinion. I used to play video games. I don't anymore. You know, I got three kids. I don't have time for that stuff. But
I know you got GenoPets.
Yeah, I do. But I used to game like really actively as a kid. I mean, I remember like the earliest days when we still had dial-up, you know, and like playing games on AIM and stuff like that, right?
Me too.
What you have built is essentially a marketplace that is going to push crossing the chasm to mass adoption.
That's the hope.
It's kind of amazing because you're leveraging the dynamics of gaming communities to do that. There are always power users. And the power users typically are the ones that the people just entering into the space flock to learn from. Like, that's been my experience in like games like StarCraft. I'm trying to think of like these multiplayer games, like these massive, like things like Star Atlas, but before Star Atlas, there's like the Web 2 versions when they have like guilds and communities and stuff. And StarCraft is the one that I'm most familiar with because you did have guilds. You, like, if you got really deep into it, you were like into like chat rooms and stuff like that. And you started at zero with like no knowledge, right? And then all of a sudden you got sucked into one of these groups, and then you got further and further down the pipe until you were also like kind of an expert. And I think that's the path that happens here too. Like, you start getting obsessed with Genopets, but you're not in the Web3 space. You're not a merchant yet. And then you figure out like, oh, I can buy this thing and upgrade my character, and you connect with somebody else that way. Right. And then all of a sudden they teach you like, oh, well, if you want to do that, you know, check this out. It's this Web3 use case. They might not even talk about it that way. But if you go to the website, Genopets.me, and you can like mint this thing, and now you can take all these points you've been earning and actually monetize them, and this is like how you make money here. And I think for the near term, it'll still be like, it'll always be a smaller subset of the community that does that, but the pie will grow over time on both sides until at some point, like, a lot of people are doing it, you know?
It's one of those things that, like, even in the long run, you don't want everyone to be on the sell side of any marketplace. It doesn't make sense. And in fact, just by player motivation, like, not everyone will want to be on that side of things. I could certainly stand up a dropship store and start selling things on Amazon right now, but like, I just don't want to. I like to buy things. There are other ways that I make money in my life. And like,
most people are just consumers.
Yeah. So we've established this very much like a traditional marketplace would, to satiate the earn and the need for liquidity and the sort of thing that Web3 cares about, with the demand side, the buy side, the consumer side that comes in for the mobile players. And we see this obviously, you know, for Genopets, it's a testing ground. The game is, you know, very early, but certainly has some promising metrics relative to most of our peers in this space. And we're quite excited kind of to see where that's going. But in the long run, I hope to see that this sort of model is the way that most games end up getting created in Web3. Is you need to have an economy aspect of the game, but you also just need to have a game that people actually want to play. And I think that's where everyone's always said, like, the secret to Web3 games is to make them fun. Sure, make them fun, but I actually think the second part of that secret is to identify the motivations of different types of players and build them an ecosystem for that, so that there absolutely is a play-to-earn side of this game, and we don't hide the play to earn word. Like, it's not that play to earn is bad. It's bad when everybody in your game wants to play to earn, because then nobody can earn. So that's kind of the motivating piece here, and where I think this may evolve is, like, you have to embrace that, but you also have to embrace the fact that you need people that just want to play your game and love your game and are excited to spend money in the game. Which, again, I'm a consumer of mobile games or video games, maybe a little bit less than I certainly was in my past. But as a kid, I was dumping money into games all day long because that's just what you like to do. You're okay to spend money for content and time. That's just how it works.
You mentioned earlier that right at the beginning of the pandemic, you were kind of like, I'm over this. I'm going to take a break. And you're like retired from crypto.
It was a short-lived break.
Yeah, and I get that. I'm kind of the same way. I don't think I could stay away too long. What is the driving reason you're in this space? Like, what's your why? And how does that tie back to Genopets? Why are you here? Why are you here building this stuff?
You know, the thing about Web3 in general that I've always liked the most, other than the technology side of it, I think I talk about crypto way less than I've talked about blockchain. I don't actually trade very much. Sure, I have bags. I've been in crypto for a while. Like, I was never a DeFi person. Like, I was never actively really excited about the trading side of crypto as much as I was blockchain as a technology and the ability to transfer value in a new way that, you know, hopefully facilitated benefits in a lot of different ways to different communities. Certainly we've seen crypto or Web3 or blockchain, you know, have applicable use cases, potentially applicable use cases across every vertical at this point, healthcare, games, et cetera. So to me, that was always what was most exciting about sort of Web3 in general, is this fundamental opportunity for it to reshape technology, period. That said, I'm also not the best engineer. I'm not really an engineer at all. I'm decently technologically savvy. That's why I got into crypto actually as a product marketer. I've been a product manager for most of my career, but certainly didn't have the chops to do that on the blockchain side of things. So I ended up really focusing much more on the marketing side of Web3 and then doubling down on community. Because what I realized very early on in Web3 was, and this is what's so starkly different about building a game in Web3 versus building, you know, a traditional game, is you're doing it in the open with your community. You're communicating on a daily basis with those that care most about your game. You know, you're a lot of player feedback, community feedback, very much driving decision-making in every step of what we do. So to me, that's actually what makes me show up every day, is I know we have 180,000 people on a Discord server that are really excited for what we do every day. They show up. We want to show up to make this vision come true that everyone's really excited for and has been, you know, supporting and building with us from the start.
Very cool. You already said what was a little bit of what's next. You got the marketplace coming up, but can you talk a little bit more about that and like the future, like what's coming down the pipeline? What can people be excited about?
So our beta started in August of 21. So what are we, like almost up on a year for beta, which is kind of crazy. Time flies. You know, again, as I said, there's about 120,000 people in the game. We have about 30,000 daily active users. Retention is really strong. People are liking the core loops of the game right now. What that's done certainly has given us a lot of data for player motivation, both, you know, certainly from just being active in the server, but also just looking at player behavior and the way engagement has turned out in the game. And we're really doubling down on the things that people, or the signals that we're seeing from the player base. Two major ones. One is, we've not spent any money on marketing thus far. Everyone who's joined the game, wholly organic or referred in by a friend. And referrals, you know, of course, big piece of the industry, or big piece of the growth, big piece of any product sort of adoption curve, is identifying, like, can you get people to just tell their friends they want to play this too? Genopets is a very single player game if you've played it. There's not anything to do in the game with your friends to date. There's some sharing features and things that we've released more recently, but the next big roadmap piece actually triggered by that has been competitive play and social play. A reason to play Genopets with your friends. Because if we're already seeing, you know, a large portion of our player base really excited to bring their friends in and tell their mom and friends, you know, come play this thing with me. I walk around every day, look how cool my pet is. If I give you a reason to want to play with your friends, you know, that's what our hypothesis is anyway. So where we're headed in the next major releases is battles. So the first version of battles, like competitive play, think like step challenges. How much are you walking versus how much am I walking? Can we wager some energy on it together? Basically, you know, something to do with your friends in the game. The first version of battle, essentially. Everyone's looking forward to turn-based PvP battle. That's definitely still in the bigger picture roadmap. But we got a lot of the plumbing and basics of a competitive version of gameplay out aligned very well with the core loop of the game, which is very much walking today, fitness. I kind of shy away from the word fitness sometimes because honestly, I'm not even a fitness person. I do 10,000 steps a day-ish because of my Genopet, and maybe I walk a little bit more, but I'm certainly not an athlete. I definitely don't go on runs, but I'll take a walk in the evening because it's nice outside. And I know if I'm walking with my Genopet, and that makes it level up a little bit faster and get me some extra energy to do other things in the game. So that's the next major milestone, is fitness battles, step challenges, we call them, step battles.
My very first idea as an entrepreneur was like a app for challenging like my brothers and I to work out together. I think it's cool that it's as something as basic as walking, because it's very attainable, right? For a lot of people.
You go to the mall for 3 hours, you're playing Genopets.
Yeah. I could also see like versions for different categories. Like you see this, I've got my Whoop on, and this is like do you know what Whoop is? What a Whoop does? Yeah, it's just like a health tracker device. And I wear this thing. I haven't taken it off since I bought it. I mean, it's maybe been 5 months.
How do you charge it?
It's cool. Actually, it has a battery that just goes right over the top. It's a wireless battery and it charges that way and you take it off. So you literally never take this thing off to charge it. It's a very smart design. I immediately was like, okay, when can I wire my Whoop up to Genopets? You know, it tracks a lot of different data than just walking, but I could see that being like, you could see how there could very easily be other categories for different people, like different group subsets of the fitness space. Like right now you're just walking, but you could link it to Strava. I don't know if it would count Strava like running as steps, but anyway, you could see how you could like use interoperability between different kinds of fitness products to create these battle scenarios.
Sleeping is also a very obvious one that we've talked about since day one. Get a good night rest. Your Genopets, you know, well rested in the morning, it gets more energy from its steps that day. There's a lot of different sensors we thought about tracking. It, certainly part of this starting with walking was it's something that the vast majority can do. You don't need a Whoop or a wearable device in order to track your steps. You can do so with just your phone. So that's definitely where we start, but absolutely.
Well, sleep too. But almost every iPhone tracks people's sleep. Like it's not like perfect. If you have heart rate data, you can track sleep a lot better. You can use the phone basically, like you just turn on bedtime on your phone. And when you, it knows if you look at your phone later that night or whatever, if you're on your computer, at least on iOS. Walking is probably like the number one thing that people can do to stay healthy. And then sleep. And people do not get good sleep. We're all terrible at that. And it can really change the game for your mental health if you just start sleeping like 8 hours a night.
The big picture really is that your Genopet becomes an avatar for your health. You know, and whether that's real health and we get into actual health data maybe, but an avatar for your overall well-being. And are you sleeping well? Are you eating well? Are you staying active? Are you doing the things that you need to do to take care of yourself? Take care of yourself by taking care of your Genopet. And maybe that helps us fulfill that sort of base layer hierarchy of needs. And then as your Genopet progresses and it becomes something you want to show off and it's higher level, now you start to hit those higher level Maslow hierarchy of needs type needs where you've got something to flex and you've got something of value that you like to show off. So yeah, we're very much oriented around sort of that overall well-being journey and tapping into human desire.
That brings me up the next kind of thought for me is like, how are you measuring that impact? Do you have a number off the top of your head? It's like, this is how many steps people have done since inception or like the hell, you know what I mean? The health impact of like your user base.
Obviously we're measuring all that data, but the thing that we look at the most or the thing that I'm most excited for in that data is retention. You know, somebody finds out about Genopets and more than half of them, from the day you sign up for Genopets, keep playing for at least a month. Maybe that doesn't sound like a lot if you don't have a frame of perception about games or apps, but your typical app churns 90%+ of their users within the first month. They just don't stick around. There's no reason to come back. But Genopets has started to be a habit. And people just get used to opening the app, checking on their pet, seeing its progress, and it reminds you every day how much you walked. My Apple Watch and my Whoop also remind me how much I walked, but they do so with a vibration, a ring close. You know, that sort of thing is great. It's a good sort of, you know, step in that direction. But what we're finding with Genopets is that the game layer, the dopamine layer on top of how much you walked every day is a much stronger motivator than opening my fitness app and seeing how much I walked. So that for me is the big thing that we look at a lot is retention and how much do or how long do our players stick around after they find out about their Genopet. And I've got friends or people that I've never would never have imagined. People have told me straight up, I don't work out, I don't walk, like I don't think Genopets is going to be for me. That downloaded Genopets and 6 months later they're still banking their steps because they just like to see their pet grow. And they're like, yeah, it's a good reminder every day, and it's really easy. At the end of the day, when you're on the couch watching Netflix, you take 30 seconds to check on your Genopet, you bank your steps, you feed your pet, you take care of it a little bit, you give it a pet so you see hearts come out of its eyes, and that's the loop. And you just keep doing it. It's interesting. It's becoming a habit-building app, almost like a Duolingo would be, more so than your typical game, which is an interesting approach that we're really excited for to see sort of how that impact starts to grow.
Really cool. Yeah, it makes me think of all the other kinds of habits you could start trying to incentivize. So we're getting towards the top of the show, and I always ask this question, but what have I not asked you that I should have asked that you wanted to to talk about. I feel like this flew by already. We've been doing this for over half an hour. So
curveball me on that one. Let's see. I feel like we talked about all the things. Why does ownership matter in Web3 games? Why do you need Web3 for games at all? Like, I think that's actually one of the biggest things. I think it's kind of one of those things people skirted around in Web3 period. It's like, do you really need Web3 for this? Like, why do you need crypto? I honestly think for the vast majority of games out there, or just products in general, you probably don't really need crypto. Especially if the game publisher is planning on selling you everything primary in the game. Sure, you get secondary liquidity after the publisher sells you something, but you lost the biggest clip on the upfront buying it directly from the publisher. One of the things that we're most bullish on as a game and our overall game economy design is this concept of crafting and giving the players the tools to create all the things in the game that the wider player base will desire. And that's very much a Roblox or Animal Crossing. Even I played a ton of Animal Crossing over COVID, where we sort of made this fundamental decision that our smart contracts don't allow us just to mint more wings and sell them to you. We make wings the same way all the players make wings, by burning token to create them. And that fundamentally makes ownership of our assets and being on the economy side of the game substantially more valuable versus if we were to primary sell everything to our player base, why does it even need to be crypto? We may as well just do it in dollars. And maybe there's a secondary liquidity market, and maybe that's why you need crypto. But ultimately, I think a big part of this is really empowering the player base to be able to own and create and do all those things. Have some agency in the overall economy of the game. Set the price for the items. That's something that I think a lot of games are missing today that I hope to see a lot more of in the future as sort of player and ecosystems or games and Web3 in general evolve more mature. Is to find ways to make ownership a little bit more impactful than, well, it sits in my wallet and I can trade it on a marketplace if I want to.
Makes sense to me. I think that's a great take. I appreciate all the time you spent with us today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
You just heard the Index Podcast with your host, Alex Kahaya. If you enjoyed this episode, please give the show a 5-star rating and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your favorite streaming platform. New episodes available every other Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.